Welcome to Federal Insights, Improving Digital Investigations in Government, sponsored by Nuix. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
One thing investigators in all domains have in common is data. As data sources grow and analytic tools become more sophisticated, investigators need to keep up. For How One Is, I spoke with the chairman of the Investigation Subcommittee of the Technology Committee of the Council of Inspectors General, and he works in the Ability One OIG, Stephen Burke.
Some of the challenges that we see today in the area of big data and multi-source data is understanding that if we are actually receiving the full data set that we are asking for from the entity, either some private third-party entity through legal process, a search warrant, court order, or subpoena, or if it's government-owned information and we have direct access to that information. And then when those requests are being made either through the appropriate legal process or through internal request means within the government, that the requesting parties are delivering the full content as it's requested and not filtering it, determining upon what they feel we believe we are looking for within that data set.
Because at one time, people would almost try to bury investigations by delivering truckloads of paper, which they knew no one could get through. It seems like that possibility could happen with data, or what you're saying is actually the opposite. They're trying to just send you the minimum they can get away with.
Absolutely. We do see both ends of the spectrum where we do receive terabytes or petabytes of information in response to our request, or we see filtered out responses, and then we have to somehow triage the information to go through it to determine if the information is it in a complete and thorough response to what we are asking for.
So in either case, then, the challenge is you don't know what you don't know, so to speak.
Absolutely. Some ways that we've hurdled these challenges is that having great business relationships internally with our own government customers and then externally with many of our data owners through just partnerships, becoming, you know, business entities, relationships with data conferences or training venues or just other legal processes so that we can also better understand what those external sources can provide us, how they can provide it to us, and what the best legal process is for that. On the internal side of the house, this is where the best practices of building that internal business relationship with your host agency to truly understand the vast amount of information that any one government agency holds today. As we've seen in recent years with the passing of the Data Act and more transparency of government information on all different websites hosted by CIGI.gov, Oversight.gov, the White House, the government is trying to be more transparent of a lot of the spending, as we've seen with many of the COVID-19 pandemic relief acts and the funding being released out into the taxpayers. This is a great opportunity where the government holds a vast amount of information and is able to be transparent to see where that information is going. From an investigative standpoint, that's absolutely fantastic for us because it gives us an extra eye on that data that the government has in its possession on how we can then introduce that into leads for investigations.
And in your earlier work at the Transportation Department, perhaps you could give us an example of how this whole process might have worked, this data gathering, not a current case, but maybe something that's happened and closed that you can give us a little bit of a look inside the hood for.
Many of the cases that we've seen with data gathering within the Department of Transportation has been surrounding many of the various pandemic relief funds that have been issued out to the taxpayers, in that understanding, you know, the goal of these bills was to provide the funds back to the taxpayers as fast as possible. And in the entities that DOT has relationships with, those funds were going to various airport entities for their improvement of their tarmac or terminals or payment of employee salaries of those folks, keeping the buses and trains running in local entities in big city America and in little cities across the country. So understanding where this money has been delivered to these entities and how it is being used, and is it being used in accordance with the different pandemic relief acts that have been passed. So through this effort, we're able to review the acts that have been passed, identify where the funds have gone, and continue to review the invoice processing and the funds delivery to these entities. And then it goes into the realm of looking at the entities and determining if the funds had been received, were they used for the intended purposes as the bill had mentioned, or as the entity stated that they would be using those funds for?
Yeah, so the implication then is, besides documentary evidence that would be found in computer systems in the form of procurement records, invoices, contractor discussions, or grantee discussions, there might be also different data types like photographs or videos or PDFs or that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And all those different document data types create that vast data set volume that at one point we may have to collect, somehow analyze, report on, and determine if allegations are true or not. Many times the leads from the data records that we see generate into just actual gumshoe investigations where an agent goes out and looks at the sites. There could be a claim of Airport XYZ has received $30 million for building a new terminal. Well, is that terminal being built? Are there efforts for that terminal being built? And who are those entities that are claiming to be doing those efforts? So there's a lot of the data gives us entry points into visibility of what is happening, but then we still have to go out and do those physical inspections and do our normal investigative activities to solidify those investigations.
And getting back to the original challenge here then, with people delivering data and you're not totally sure, what types of measures do you find are useful in ensuring investigators have the complete data that they need for doing their investigations?
Many times that's a big question mark we have is, do they have everything that they need for that investigation? This could mean multiple different personnel within the organization are reviewing the data records that are collected, from data scientists to forensic analysts or just to another investigator or an auditor, just to ensure the content is complete, thorough, and in the information realm that they're looking for. Many times we have to go back to the source agency to request additional clarification. Maybe we're thinking that there should be more records or more fields or more complete information that would be there. If it's externally based information through the information that was gained through a search warrant, a court order, or subpoena, that'll be through consultation through the Department of Justice and U.S. Attorney's Office to determine the validity and the content. Was the legal process actually complied with, or do we have to have supplemental legal guidance to go back to the entity for more detailed or more thorough information? Many challenges that we see in the legal process community is that the retention period for many companies doing business or who could have records is varying in many days, weeks to months or years, not as robust as the government when we keep all of our own records.
Stephen Burke chairs the Investigation Subcommittee of the Technology Committee at the Council of Inspectors General, and he works in the Ability One OIG. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Complex investigations often involve multiple suspects, many devices, and large volumes of data. They can cross agency, state, and national boundaries. Nuix empowers government organizations worldwide to simply and quickly find truth in our digital world. Nuix software gives your agency one window into all of your evidence, even with complex sources and growing data volumes. You can beat the case queues and resolve more investigations. Nuix, finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/WTOP.
Welcome back to our interview with Stephen Burke, Chairman of the Investigations Subcommittee of the Technology Committee of the Council of Inspectors General and Investigator in the Ability One OIG. Our topic is data in investigations. And let's talk a bit about the technology side of all of this. How do you store data? How do you stage it? How do you market? What are your general ways of handling it such that it is as useful as possible for investigators and investigations?
Storage is a very large challenge today because if we were doing everything on premise, we have to procure, power up, maintain with security compliances for FISMA and cybersecurity relating to intrusions of itself. But the nature of the volume of the information that we are collecting is vastly increasing on a rapid basis. We are having to request budget increases for the hardware to store that information on so that those end users, the auditors, the agents, or the forensic analysts can review that data. Some agencies are electing to move into a cloud environment or some type of hybrid on-premise or cloud environment. Additionally, those are higher volume and costs that could be attributed because of the resources being made available to you in a cloud environment. So there are many agencies today that have a whole host of on-premise, hybrid premise to cloud, or just a 100% cloud environment. Dealing with the volume challenges we see, not only in data collection just through normal requests, but through the data collection of electronically seized evidence on the output of a search warrant of a business or a residence or an entity, we've seen upwards of double digit to triple digit in terabytes of information being collected. That's a lot of information. So that agency now has to come back into their own office space. And just as you would go through papers and boxes of things that you've collected at a search warrant, we now have to ingest all of those electronic records and data objects into some form of software appliance or hardware appliance that can ingest, interpret, and deliver that content for a user to view and determine, are these records attributable to the allegations at hand, or do these records exonerate our target from the allegations we have today?
And of course, beyond the storage then becomes the issue of tagging, of metadata, of actually the accessibility part of it for various investigations, different individuals, different offices or projects going on. And how do you handle some of that?
Yes, this is a never-ending task for us. Some agencies are very fortunate to have custom and homegrown software that they develop in-house that they make available to their agents, auditors, and forensic analysts. Other agencies rely on commercial off-the-shelf products that many people have seen in the forensic community today. So many tools on the off-the-shelf products and homegrown tools are fantastic at what they do. We are in an environment today that the majority of our information that we collect relating to investigations can be converted into some type of electronic format and delivered into this type of software package that we have today. So that many of the agents and auditors and analysts that are on tasks today don't have to be fully trained as a digital forensic examiner, because the software that's being delivered to those individuals is a slimmer down version of many of the larger forensic suite tools that a trained and certified digital forensic examiner would use. These tools have been fantastic in the advancement of large data set review, workflow initiation, collaborative review, not only within your own office space, but now externally to your own Office of Inspector General, where you could have multiple agencies communicating on one forensic platform to view these electronic records in a non-technical format so that you don't have to be that forensically trained professional.
And how has the pandemic, with everybody teleworking, affected all of this? Because, as you mentioned, there are pretty strong compliance safeguards, legal safeguards you have to have for data, chain of custody, privacy, and so on. And with people working remotely from a variety of devices and mobile devices, how do you extend those safeguards out to that? Everybody's a branch office nowadays.
In the Department of Transportation, fortunately, we were very well supported financially and personnel-wise, that prior to the pandemic, our network infrastructure was already supporting the amount of remote access that we were needing as part of the pandemic work that we were doing with 100% telework. There are many agencies that have not been afforded that opportunity to have their networks certified by their host agency with an authority to operate. They have also maybe not have been FISMA compliant just yet for the data storage, for the complexities and the evidence storage that's needed to advance their networks to then deliver this software content to their users. Many Office of Inspectors General have been in an environment where they were on that cusp of making it available. And because of the pandemic, they've leveraged some additional funding resources that have been made available to them to the pandemic relief to increase their network capacity, to increase their software licenses, to increase the training that they have so that folks can now learn more about these products for the network review platform so they can be more educated and more knowledgeable when they're using those. The pandemic has put us in a very interesting time. We still do have that physical collection that does go on at search warrants. So we've had to protect ourselves in going out and doing the correct safety measures for ourselves when we are on those scenes. But then we still have to remove that physical evidence, transfer to some type of media device at our search warrant scene, and then bring it back into the host agency and manually upload that information into your own infrastructure, be it on-premise or in a cloud environment. So there still are going to be opportunities that we have to go out, physically touch things, bring them into our environment, and manually do things until it's fully up and available into our network environment.
Stephen Burke, chairman of the Investigation Subcommittee of the Technology Committee at the Council of Inspectors General and investigator in the Ability One OIG. We'll return with the third and final segment after a short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Government agencies are spending trillions of dollars on COVID-19 pandemic relief. It's vital to uncover and stamp out fraud, waste, and abuse in these programs. With Nuix software, your agency's forensic technicians, investigators, fraud analysts, and auditors can collaborate across all phases of an investigation. Nuix gives you one platform with a single window into all the evidence. Nuix. Finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/COVID.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Stephen Burke, chairman of the Investigations Subcommittee of the Technology Committee at the Council of Inspectors General and investigator in the Ability One OIG. We've been discussing data in the investigative domain. And beyond all of the technology connected to data, there's also, well, I guess it's also technology I'm going to talk about, but maybe discuss the visualization aspect and some of the ways that data can be used to expand the mind, so to speak, to offer new possibilities, new insights that perhaps even subject matter experts may not have had just from looking at the data sets traditionally.
Visualization is a magical piece now that we're seeing in many of our investigations. I think the days they're away from us now where an agent is sitting down looking at a spreadsheet and trying to draw lines across that spreadsheet to match up different columns of information. It could be financial transactions. It could be email communications, cell phone communications. We have this information in electronic formats, and there are incredible tool sets available to us where the tool sets understand the structure of the data that we ingest, or we can deliver that information into the tool and tell the software tool what type of data we have and what fields to collaborate against one another. And the visualization happens in these environments where you start seeing connections being made across entities and understanding why are one or two or three or more people communicating through these different means or having these financial transactions that before you would be looking through spreadsheets that could be hundreds of pages long. And the technology behind the forensics tools is able to paint these visualization panes in front of you, and you can start carving out and getting into those little nests of information to find out where your subjects or your witnesses or your victims are all communicating together and really zero in on those true communications of evidentiary value. And when you do that, you really then can focus in on those items, how they relate to the allegation, and are there other witness items of electronic evidence that we have related to those communications of cell phone communications, text messaging, email messages, financial transactions, network logs. There's a lot of information that we can now visualize and then present that information in a visual format to a U.S. attorney or a state prosecutor to just bring the different realm of understanding of the allegation And then ultimately, if it makes it into the courtroom and needs testimony being made, now we have to educate a jury of the peers of a defendant to understand what we are telling in the entire site picture of the investigation.
And given what you said earlier on, that the amount of data involved in all of these investigations routinely is growing and growing fast, I would think the visualization and anything that can bring order to it in an automated way is even getting more important.
Absolutely. With the amount of data that is coming in, the visualization tools then themselves can be overruled with many flavors of communications, and having that ability to drill down and filter and sort and understand that data to not in a sense manipulate the data, but to then tell the story of the data through the visualization. And then once the visualization gives you that sense of an understanding, then drilling down into the data itself to get to the answer that you're looking to find.
And just out of curiosity, to what extent do the burgeoning cores of chief data officers and data specialists in agencies, are they coming into the investigative field and maybe helping with, golly, if you had these three more data sets, you might be able to prove that particular question?
That is a great point. And that is one of the prime examples of our relationship at the Department of Transportation with our chief data officer and the various chief information officers to truly understand what information they do possess and how that information then can relate to our investigations. And we do have many investigations that do occur where we are requesting data set A and we go to the chief information officer to request that information. And then as we are reviewing that data, when we get it back, we go back to that office and they will say to us, well, we didn't know what you were using that for, this other data set would be just as valuable to you. It's collecting this information and even more information that could be valuable. So having those relationships, having those open discussions, and getting the understanding of what your own agency possesses. And the beauty of the Data Act and the transparencies that the government is having in the wider internet forums gives the agent a nice understanding of what the own agency has, so that we don't have to go find some data dictionary or some internal web page that explains what we possess. Sometimes it's just looking at the news and looking at a visualization that the department published for a pandemic relief or for a hurricane output. And then we realize, oh, we didn't know they had all of that geospatial information. So then now we can go back and ask the department, hey, the information that you used to deliver this heat map relating to a hurricane recovery or a flood recovery, do you have that same information relating to the data that I asked? And you'd be surprised that the answer is, oh, yes, we do have that. And that really will enlighten an investigator.
Stephen Burke, chairman of the Investigation Subcommittee of the Technology Committee at the Council of Inspectors General and investigator in the Ability One OIG. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, Improving Digital Investigations in Government, sponsored by Nuix on Federal News Network.
Complex investigations often involve multiple suspects, many devices, and large volumes of data. They can cross agency, state, and national boundaries. Nuix empowers government organizations worldwide to simply and quickly find truth in our digital world. Nuix software gives your agency one window into all of your evidence, even with complex sources and growing data volumes. You can beat the case queues and resolve more investigations. Nuix, finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/WTOP.